Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Principles Subteam meeting on the 30th of January 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langenau, Avi Doria, Alan Greenberg, Greg Shatton, Chuck Gomes, and Tom Barrett. Michael Graham emailed saying that he would not be able to attend the entirety of the call. And we have apologies from Nick Steinbaum and Ricky Koenigs. From staff, we have Mary Wong and myself, Nancy Purvin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Natalie. This is Chuck. I appreciate each of you joining, and we'll plug away from where we left off last week. I was just going to say Cheryl may be the only one not in Adobe Connect, and I just see her in Adobe Connect. So if I'm correct, there's no one that is not in Adobe Connect. If that's not true, please let me know. Okay. So what we're going to do is start off where we left off last time, and we were working on under policy and community, paragraph A there that's on the bottom of the screen, and Aubrey had promised to suggest some edits there, and if any of you are like me, you hadn't read that yet, so let me give a couple minutes for people to look at that paragraph, and maybe as we do that, Aubrey, you can explain the changes you made. Are you on mute, Aubrey?
Oh, sorry. I figured everybody was still reading and I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. You can wait till they read it if you want. I just thought it might even go faster if you just explain what you did and we can read as you talk.
Okay.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay. No, I'm fine. And I was having trouble remembering what it was I had said I would do. So I basically read it and then recrafted the paragraph that had been there into something that included elements that I thought were missing. So, for example, I added the sentence about what it is they're doing is doing a community impact analysis of their work, that is part of what we should be doing when we do policy. I was a little confused while I was doing it whether we were doing just GNSO or we were doing chartering SO, et cetera. So I didn't mess with that language, and I don't know if I'm consistent inside it, but I left that alone. So the first part was I added the sentence about basically the responsibility of somebody doing policy to do community impact analysis as part of its policy process. Then the second sentence remains essentially the same, that, you know, it's up to the SO doing the work to notify people. The third sentence remains pretty much the same, is it's a response of everybody else to respond in a timely manner. The fourth sentence is also new, and that it's basically saying, you know, what we tend to do, though not everyone is as good about it outside the GNSO as the GNSO is becoming on it, is reviewing, considering, and that final documents include a reference to the input received and its disposition. So that's what I did. I bracketed the two sentences that were there with some other fluff.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. Let me open it up for any questions or comments on that. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. I guess I want to talk about the first sentence because I'm not quite sure I know what it means. If you look at, you know, an environmental impact analysis that a pipeline or oil company is supposed to do, they're supposed to analyze, do the analysis from the point of view of all impacted stakeholders. And I think if that's the intent here, it's a bit overreaching. That is, the SO is supposed to do the analysis before they get the input and be able to sort of look at things from everyone's perspective. And I don't think that's really the intent. So I'm just worried that maybe it sounds overreaching.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chuck. I guess I didn't take it the same way you did, but I understand your point.
Well, Chuck, I'm not saying I'm taking it that way, but it can be read that way.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll let you respond in a second, Aubrey. I just wanted to say what I thought is that the second sentence then is referring to that impact analysis in the first sentence, and so what follows is part of the SO's responsibility of doing the impact analysis. Let me let Aubrey respond.
Yeah, basically that's similar to what I was going to say, and that next sentence starts as part of its processes that the SO has to reach out. Now, I could make it more specific and say as part of this process, and in fact I had that while I was working on it, but I didn't want to make it that narrow in that as part of all of its processes, not just impact analysis, the SO has to do this reach out stuff.
Okay. I can live with that.
Okay. So you're okay with it as is, Alan?
Yeah. I actually missed the as part of, and so I read it as a first step.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think it's fine as it is.
Thank you. All right. And Cheryl agrees with that. Any other comments or questions on this paragraph?
Chuck, this is Mary. I've lost connectivity on one of my screens, so I can't put my hand up in Adobe for some strange reason. It must be the weather here. But I was just curious as to, you know, just looking at it from the staff perspective, I think in concept we know what the community impact analysis is and means, and as Alan mentioned, there are environmental impact studies and so forth that a number of us are familiar with. I guess my question for Avery, two questions. One is the way the sentence is phrased now, it seems to require that is done every single time. So the first question is whether there should be at least a determination of whether it's appropriate subject matter for such an analysis. And the second question is, should we try to put some flesh around the meaning of community impact analyses? And again, I'm raising this because I think conceptually we know what that means, but in terms of, say, the resource or the time or the expense that might go into some of these, depending on the topic, is something that may be worth discussing.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary. This is Chuck. Aubrey, go ahead. Do you want to respond?
I can wait if anyone else wishes to respond before me, but I was going to answer questions. Okay, first of all, in terms of the definition of community impact analysis, and perhaps it would be better labeled stakeholder impact analysis, where we already discussed there are stakeholders, what makes you a stakeholder is impacts, and so therefore stakeholder impact analysis might be easier for people to understand. And ties in. So maybe you're right, community is the wrong word, stakeholder is a more appropriate word. In terms of what those stakeholder interests are, that's kind of what reaching out has to do with. I think it's impossible for us to define up front the omnibus definition of stakeholder impact. Going to the first part of your question, I think without a doubt, any time the GNSO creates a policy recommendation, it has to do what it can to understand the impact on stakeholders. I mean, that's part of what it's all about. So I see no problem with, yes, it goes with all policy.
This is Chuck. Mary, would you like to respond?
Not so much a response.
One question for you, Mary, when you respond is, does changing it to stakeholder impact analysis help?
Well, I think it helps to the extent that it doesn't immediately draw one's mind to some of the impact studies or analyses that one encounters in other forums. And that was really my concern, that somebody who doesn't have the background that we would have coming to this a little bit later will say, oh, my God, now we've got to commission this or get a consultant or do X, Y, and Z. And I think that's what we're trying to avoid. So that clarification is helpful. I just wanted to raise the point for the group to discuss because I assume that this is a question that we will be asked when we bring this to the larger working group as well.
And thanks for showing your agreement, Cheryl. Anybody else want to comment or question on this? So does anyone – let me ask this question. I don't know if I identified myself, but this is Chuck again. Is there anyone that's opposed to changing the word community in the first sentence to stakeholder impact analysis? I don't see anybody objecting or hearing, but let me let Alan comment.
Alan's hand is up, though.
That's why I called on you.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that part. I was switching from speakerphone to no.
Okay.
I certainly have no problem changing it to stakeholder. I think that's the term we're generally using. I happen to like the term community better because there's less conflict with capitalized defined terms in ICANN, but I think we're pretty well committed to using stakeholders in lowercase. I guess I'm more worried about the term impact analysis. Although I agree with the sentiment, I wonder if it's too loaded a term. I don't feel very strongly about it, and I'm willing to go forward into the overall work group and see how people react. But I'm just sort of raising a slight red flag or a pink flag, I guess.
Thanks, Alan. This is Chuck again. Anybody else want to comment? So, Chuck, continuing... Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I didn't want to jump in again. This is Aubrey. So I actually think that there's importance in the word impact analysis and in the term. I think, you know, every field has an impact analysis pretty much. Anytime, you know, a policy body does something, there is an impact analysis that comes in many different forms. I think it's something that we need to be able to say, yes, we do an impact analysis of the effect on stakeholders of the policies that we put forward. And I think to be able to say that is an important part of being able to recommend policy. So I have a partiality to that particular term. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. It's Chuck again. I'm not seeing any objections. Let's go with the language with that change from community to stakeholder. And like you noted, Alan, as we share the principles with a broader audience in the working group, we'll see if any of them have some of the same concern you have, and we can, of course, deal with it then. But for now, and so that we can move forward, let's go ahead and go with what we have.
Fine with me. Chuck, it's Alan. I have to drop off the call for a minute, but I'll be back in just a minute.
Okay. Thanks, Alan, for letting us know. Okay. So let's move on then to the two sub-points that follow that. And there they are. One, you can see one and two at the top of the screen there. These are concepts that are not in the overarching as Nick organized them here. The first one is, it is the responsibility of the originating SO to provide timely notification to the rest of the community about policy development and our implementation processes. And let's go ahead and look at two at the same time. It is the responsibility of the other SOs and ACs and stakeholders in general to determine whether or not they are impacted by that activity and to provide their input in a timely manner. So my first question there, and I'm open to any comments, not just what I'm addressing, but... Are those helpful clarifications to the paragraph that we just worked on, or are they unnecessary? And I'm not expressing an opinion on that. I just wanted to get the discussion on those. In other words, should we include those as clarifying points to the main paragraph that they follow? Is the question I think that I'm asking, and of course I'm open to other comments and questions on that.
Chuck, Cheryl here without her hand up, I'm afraid.
Okay. Go ahead, Cheryl. Oh, Mary.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Mary.
I'm always okay, sorry.
I thought Mary couldn't raise her hand, but she did, huh?
I'm back. But I'll see to Cheryl, Chuck, and go after her.
Cheryl may have just been pointing out that you had your hand up, but if I understood correctly.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, Chuck, I did want to say.
But, well,
it's helping me out. I needed help. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you. So I was just wondering, I guess, to your question as to whether the first two of these comments are not necessary now that they've been folded into the main sentence, assuming the main sentence, as you say, we've just worked on, is everyone agrees with that. I guess the question here is the comments from Nick and from Tom, and I guess Tom is on the call, and the question there was the timely manner, whether that should be more narrowly defined or whether there should be more specificity around interim reporting and so forth.
Tom, would you did you want a comment? Since you had inserted the comment on this one next to Nick's comment replies after the deadline point there, you have anything you'd like to share on that?
Chuck, this is Mary again. I'm sorry. I guess Tom is not on the call to speak at the moment. And I could complete my thought to say that to the extent that this is something that the group would like to develop further, then perhaps that would be one of the sort of additional sub-points that we can add as an explanatory bit to the principle itself.
Thank you, Mary. Let's go to Greg. This is Chuck.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. I think this may be one of these instances where use of lawyer words may be read differently by lawyers and non-lawyers. In terms of the comment that Nick made, to my mind, a comment that comes in after a specific date by which a reply is sought, if it comes in after that comment, it's untimely. So I don't think any reply after a deadline can be timely by definition. At least that's how I read it.
Thanks, Greg. This is Chuck. One of my thoughts, which is a general one in all this, is that these are principles, and I think the more specific we get, the more they move away from being principles and becoming specific requirements. But back to what Greg just commented on. Anybody else want to respond to that?
It's Alan. Could you summarize very quickly? I came in halfway through the comment. I'm not quite sure which side Greg is on.
Greg, go ahead.
Okay, well, I think I'm of the comment that timely manner is not too broad, as long as one understands that if a deadline is set and something comes in after that, it's untimely. But if other people understand the word timely to mean something different than that, I'd like to know, because, you know, as a lawyer, you start to think that everybody reads words the way that you do, and then you find out that you're, you know, speaking a foreign language sometimes.
Thanks, Greg. Alan?
Yeah, I guess if you ask me in a general manner, you know, if someone gives you something 2 days late, does that give you the right to ignore it completely? And from my perspective, the answer is no. It's awkward, but let things happen. I think the word, however, was inserted there to imply, tell us about it during the policy development process, not 5 months afterwards when it's gone to the board, without being too pointed in who this might be directed at. And so I think the word was inserted from the context of timely means while we're actually talking about the subject and not something completely out in left field. I would not want to see it interpreted as a license to say we're rejecting something because it came in an hour late. And I'm not suggesting that that's what Greg is saying, but I guess I'm happy to have the word there and not to try to analyze it too much at this point, given what I know about why it's there to begin with.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chuck again. And before I turn it to Tom, let me say that the reality of the matter is, as much as we'd like to get everything in on time, I suspect it won't always happen. And if we really want to do a thorough impact analysis, unless it's just ridiculously late, I think we will need to and even want to consider comments, even if they are late, unless it just gets to a point where it's too far down the process.
Yeah, I think you're echoing what I was trying to say. I wouldn't want it interpreted too tightly.
Thank you, Alan. Tom, go ahead.
I'll see if Tom has another comment.
Yeah, I was just going to echo Alan's interpretation of my intent as well. And I guess the idea was that people who want to participate are given sufficient notice so they can participate before something is cast in stone. And so it's more aimed at making sure to maximize participation from those who are interested rather than being used at some sort of deadline to cut people off.
Thanks, Tom. Greg, go ahead.
Not speaking as a lawyer, but just as a normal person, I have no objection to a more squishy view of the meaning of the word timely. And I think that your earlier comment is very well taken, Chuck, that we should avoid getting too far down into the weeds because what we're dealing with are principles. I think, in a sense, we're almost dealing with our own policy versus implementation issue. You know, we should be discussing the policy side, you know, principles at kind of a policy level and not really at an implementation level, or else we're going to be writing kind of the whole rule book here. And as Avery said in one of the calls, you know, sometimes definitions, and I think principles as well, can end up subsuming the entire conversation or narrowing it or ending up defining it too much as to what people can and can't talk about. So I think keeping this high level and subject interpretation at the level of principles is a good thing. Of course, the other side of that is you may find that people implement things in a way that you weren't thinking about when you were setting them at a high level, which, of course, is why one of the reasons why this whole working group exists in the first place.
Thank you, Greg. This is Chuck again. Before we come back to the question I asked at the beginning here on this part, which is, should we include 1 and 2 as clarifications of the main paragraph they follow or not? I'd like to go to Avery's comment, which she also that's written in the – you can see it on the screen there underneath Nick's. And Avery, you kind of hit on this in your going over the changes you made in the paragraph with regard to whether or not we're talking kind of just a GNSO focus or a broader community focus and so forth. So I don't know if you want to say anything on that, Avery, before I open it up for others.
No, but I confess I was wordsmithing a definition of stakeholder impact analysis.
Okay. Thanks.
While the discussion was going on, so I distracted myself.
Oh, okay. Are you going to have more to add on that with regard to impact analysis? In other words, do we need to back up to impact analysis? Or?
No, you don't need to back up. I just never moved forward.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thanks, Aubrey. Chuck again. My thinking is that even though particular issues maybe primarily, even almost exclusively, GNSO in some cases, it's important for the GNSO to alert the other SOs and ACs that at least give them the opportunity to contribute if they have an if they think they're going to be impacted. So I think at a minimum, we always at least need to do that. In some cases, they won't have any, and that's okay, but we need to inform them so that they can make that decision on their own rather than us make it for them. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, then let's go back to my question. Should we leave 1 and 2 in there, or do they provide helpful clarification, or they pretty much duplicate what we said in the main paragraph? And I'm actually comfortable either way, I think. And I'm just allowing time for people to think about that and focus on that. Note that Mary has included the edited language from Aubrey in the previous paragraph, plus the one change we made. Thanks for showing that, Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. And one reason for going back was to show also that some of this language in 1 and 2 is reflected. So I'm not certain if someone was coming fresh to this document or reasonably fresh that having these subpoints 1 and 2 really add anything, unless this subteam is saying something that's either more specific or that's more explanatory, because it seems to me that almost all of the wording here is already reflected in the principle that was just amended.
And I see Aubrey agrees with that. Anybody disagree with that? In other words, I guess what I'm asking is, Cheryl may disagree. Go ahead, Cheryl. I think that's what that is. Do you disagree that strongly, Cheryl?
The whole jungle around her disagrees.
Are you able to... So Cheryl disagrees with that, and so I interpret that, Cheryl, to mean, as Chuck speaking again, it's really tough as chair, you know, keep naming yourself every time. But anyway, I'll still try to do it unless you think it's unnecessary. But Cheryl, can I interpret your disagreement to say that you think it would be better to leave 1 and 2 there, even though they are duplicative of what's above? And I see an agree there. Now, just since I've got the mic and I already identified myself, my own... I totally agree with Mary and Aubrey that it duplicates. But I guess if I had to err, I'd rather err on being repetitive than not being clear. So that would be my own tendency. And Greg, you're disagreeing with me on that? Go ahead. Can you speak to that?
Actually, Chuck, I was disagreeing with the theme that we were disagreeing with before, so I was agreeing. I'm disagreeing with you in the sense that I think that what's there is clear enough without it needing to be repeated, and I think we should keep the document somewhat concise. And I think that saying it once in the body is enough. I think the comments should be left for anything sub, should be left for things that are kind of new or nuance or some sort of thing, not too much nuance in any.
Thank you, Greg. Alan.
Yeah, I don't often disagree with Cheryl, and I am here, and I'd like to try to understand what is it that's keeping these ads.
Cheryl, can you respond to that?
Or type?
Yeah, either. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cheryl may not be able to speak right now. I don't know. I see her in Adobe, but
she prefers belts and braces on this.
Okay, so that's braces, not bases. Okay.
Suspenders.
So what I'm hearing is more people are in favor of
Julian,
but let me be quiet and turn it over to Aubrey.
Yeah. I think actually I see a negative impact in including it, and perhaps this is, since we have people reading it as a lawyer, perhaps this is me as reading it as a philosopher and looking at it and saying, yes, it appears to say the same thing, but the fact that they repeated it is significant, and therefore I must figure out why and what the difference is in these qualifying remarks. So that would, as a naive reader coming to this, I would read it, and I go, okay. And then I'd read it again and go, what does this mean? Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Chuck again. And that's an interesting way to look at it. So thanks, Greg, for your agreement there. So why I'm judging that the rough consensus, at least, in those on the call today, is to delete those two items. And if I don't see any strong objections to that, let's go ahead and take those out.
It's Alan speaking. Cheryl has conceded in the chat.
Thank you. I hadn't looked at that. Cheryl, I really enjoyed overruling you on this one. I just wanted to point that out.
Ooh, it's getting nasty.
Okay.
The three of us.
I think everybody knows that Cheryl and I have a fun relationship, and so we razz each other. So hopefully everybody understands that. Okay. Let's go on then to B. I think it's still B. Yeah, it is, where it says there must be a methodology to recognize that paragraph right there. And keep moving forward. So that says there must be a methodology to recognize when a decision will impact the community, and such decisions must involve a bottom-up process in addressing those decisions. And that came from the ALAC statement. So let's and you'll note that Nick identified that something that's not in the overarching statement there, which is fine. So let me open that up for discussion and start with Alan.
Okay, thank you. The second half of it already is clearly covered, the bottom-up process to address it. The first part says we don't want to be getting into the debate that we have in recent years over whether it is policy or it is not policy. Which translates to whether it is going to have impact or whether it's something we can arbitrarily decide and not worry about it. And I don't know what that methodology is, and I'm not 100% sure we can come up with a methodology, but it would be really nice if we had some sort of methodology, that some sort of litmus test that we can use to apply to things. And that's what that's trying to say.
So, Alan, this is Chuck again. Let me ask you a question there. Then, do you think it would be better to say there should be a methodology, or it would be helpful if there was a methodology instead of making it saying must? I'm dealing with, as you can figure out on your own, I'm sure, with the fact that okay, what if we can't? You know, it'd be nice if we can come up with a methodology, but what if it's really difficult and we don't succeed?
I can certainly live with should, but I guess the result of not having a methodology which we agree to, which is predictable, and I guess predictable is one of the key words, then it means we are likely to be in a regular dispute over whether something needs to go to policy or can be resolved as part of the mechanical implementation. And that's the whole thrust of this whole discussion of how do we recognize the things which do need a bottom-up process.
Thank you, Alan. Let's go to Mary.
Thanks, Chuck, and this is Mary. And, Ellen, I think that was helpful because I'm not sure that I got that specificity that you just explained about the endless discussions over policy versus implementation, for example, from reading that sentence or the first part of that sentence. So I guess the question I had for you was whether what you just said encapsulates what ALEC meant by that first part, or whether that was an example of a broader issue, and that may well be the case. The second question, I guess, is more general for everyone and perhaps for Avery, that when I read this, and this was when we still had the words community impact analyses in the form of principle, so maybe this is a moot question, but here it talks about decisions impacting the community. So I'm wondering if, therefore, there should be some kind of linkage or not between the addition that we just made for the stakeholder impact analyses and this particular principle or statement.
And before I – this is Chuck again. Before I go to Greg, do you want to respond to that, Alan?
Yeah, I do. Because the community impact analysis was talking about was once we decide something is policy and we have a policy process to address it, there must be a community impact analysis so that we get the policy right. This is a step earlier in the process. This is trying to decide do we need a policy process or not. And to answer Mary's original question, yes, I think what I elaborated on is part of what the ALEC was trying to say. I am these days seem to be regularly reprimanded for being too terse. So
I have to learn to be more verbose. Let me go to this Chuck again. Let me go to Greg, and as you can see, I put myself in the queue too. So go ahead, Greg.
I guess I'm having a little trouble with this wording in terms of the phrase impact the community, because I am coming back to a discussion I think that, or a definition that was advanced by Jeff Newman a few months ago, that anything that impacted the community was policy. And if this is intended to kind of echo that concept, I have a problem with that whole concept that anything that impacts the community is policy, because there's no definition of impact that goes along with it. And really anything other than some completely innocuous bland, you know, detail can tend to have some impact on the community in some fashion. So I don't want the argument to go from policy versus implementation to impact versus lack of impact, because there's just too many things that have impact. So, you know, maybe I'm misreading this, but I know that there's a tendency after a while for things to get words and phrases to get loaded and to kind of have histories behind them, and I feel like this is one of those. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Chuck again. And Mary, is that an old hand or is that a new hand before I speak?
That's the remnant of a hand, but may I use the remnant to speak?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. This was a follow-up on Alan's point, and Alan, I see the point, and maybe that we could refashion or refine this sentence, because, again, I'm not sure that it's that clear that it's referring to that earlier stage in the process that you've just explained, and perhaps that's a way to do that if the group agrees that this is an important thing to capture. I just think that sort of pre-timing, if you like, that you talked about isn't as accurately reflected here as perhaps where we're going with this.
Thank you, Mary. Chuck again, and I'll take my turn with my raised hand now. Two things. One of them relates a little bit to what Greg was saying, because here we say we'll impact the community. That's terribly broad, so I think that comes back to and what Mary said related to the where we started in our discussion with that paragraph that Aubrey had edited for us. But also, I wanted to observe that, okay, we're we've got a principal that we need to reach out to the community, and they're supposed to tell us how they think they will be impacted. And so does the methodology that is being suggested here, then is it a methodology to evaluate the feedback we get from the stakeholders as to whether we believe it or not, or to determine how significant it is? I'm not sure what the answer is there, but I throw that out to just add to the discussion, and feel free to comment on that, everyone, and let me turn it over to Tom.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Tom. I think that the task we have before us is to try to come up with some principles that will result in a mindset or a culture within ICANN in terms of how they approach their everyday work. And so my thinking is that I would turn this question around and assume everyone approaches their job in a bottom-up type of process and ask, you know, there must be a methodology to recognize when a decision will not impact the community. In other words, by default, everything is bottom-up, everything affects the community, and let's decide what does not, because we want everyone thinking in terms of everything does. And not go into a lot of effort to approach their daily work as if it does.
Thank you, Tom. Chuck again. Let's go right on to Alan.
Okay, I think Tom captured part of what I was aiming at, and in regards to your question, Chuck, the issue raised. You know, I would certainly have no problem with putting the word substantive in before the word impact. You know, yes, everything has an impact on someone at some level in some perhaps non-consequential way, but we're looking for impact is a heavy word here, and the intent is that we're not looking at trivial things. The situation this was addressing was we are past the what we think is the policy stage, and again, this goes back to the new GTLD as the prime example, new GTLDs. We're past what we believe is the policy stage. We are in implementation in the most general sense of the term, and a decision has to be made. How do we recognize that this is something that indeed staff can make a decision? Yes, someone may always object after the fact, and we'll have to go back. But how does staff approach these things to recognize this is something which is within our bounds? It was not specified in the policy. We now have to specify it in more detail because we need to build the product or whatever it is. And is there a gotcha here where, based on how we implement it, there is going to be substantive impact depending on the choices we make? And it's the litmus test used at that point that I was trying to get to when this issue was raised.
Thank you, Alan. And Cheryl, I think your agree to adding the word substantive, which I liked as well, by the way. That helped. One of my concerns there, at least, and I want to call attention to what Aubrey wrote in the chat, where, you know, she thinks that once an impact is noticed by whomever, that an ICANN action will affect, and when that impact has not already been handled, then there is an issue that requires a bottom-up process. So just want everybody to if you didn't already notice that, to call attention to that. And let me just keep moving on the discussion on this and go to Alan. Alan, is that the same hand?
Well, I'd like either now or in my turn to comment on what Avery said, though.
Okay.
I think the crucial part is, based on a judgment call of an individual, they may not decide that action that the action will have an effect. I mean, in any implementation process, especially for a complex thing, there are going to be many, many decisions made along the way. Some of them will be more innocuous than others. What we're looking for are the ones that are far from innocuous. And can we come up with a litmus test to measure, to help make that decision is the question. Not one, you know, I agree with Avery, though. Once you get to the point where we're agonizing over, well, this could have some impact, then yes, it does have impact, and we have to go into the new process. But it's can we mechanize the recognition a little bit better so that there's not as much, it's not nearly as subjective, because there will be hundreds and thousands of decisions made, most of which we don't going to want to initiate a policy process over.
Thank you, Alan. Greg?
Thanks. You know, I think I can live with this. This part of it, again, is one of these, you know, what does the word mean? What does substantive mean? And, you know, looking at the general definitions in, you know, Macmillan Dictionary Online, for instance, you know, it says something of great force or impact, I believe. I lost the page. Here it is. Important or serious, or referring to the most important or serious issues, large in amount, degree, or strength. If that's what we're taking substantive to mean, you know, that works. Lawyers tend to mean substantive as anything that's not trivial or mysterious, ministerial or kind of completely innocuous. And so reading this as a non-lawyer, the word substantive here, I think, works. Reading it as a lawyer, substantive probably embraces things that are too lightweight to work here. But I'll since this is going to be read generally, hopefully, by non-lawyers until somebody has a fight and hires a lawyer to look at it, I'll go with it. You know, we could also use material or substantial, which have, I think, less chance to be misinterpreted that way.
Well, this is Chuck. Thanks, Greg. Does anybody have trouble, any problem with the word substantial impact? Now, I'm going to kind of...
Substantial material, I have no problem with any of those.
Thank you, Alan. I'm wondering, I'm going to reconstruct this a little bit to just for people to consider. Because I'm wondering whether or not what the methodology really is to do, it needs to do, is to determine whether the identified impacts are substantial. Is that the methodology that should be developed? So in other words, instead of saying, and I'm going to assume that the change that Alan agreed to in changing must to should, so I'm going to word it that way. So there should be a methodology to determine whether or not identified impacts are substantial. And there's probably a better way to word it, but hopefully that at least communicates what I'm talking about. And I see an agree there by Alan. Others? Greg, is that your hand still up?
That's an ancient hand.
Okay, thanks. Alan?
Yeah, Chuck, I think you're just changing the wording to mean the same thing, or at least what I thought was the same thing. There should be a methodology to recognize when the decision will have substantive, substantial material impact. You can rephrase the sentence and change the structure, but I think what you're saying is the same thing. The methodology should be a way to judge whether the impact will be substantial.
Yeah. Alan, I think you're right. This is Chuck. And my problem was I didn't fully incorporate the word to recognize. So I think you're correct. Thank you. Greg?
And I think perhaps determine is better than recognize. Recognize seems to be kind of almost indicating that it's already there and you just have to kind of discover it. Like if someone once told me, we don't decide who our partners are in our firm, we recognize. So this is like whether you know, Columbus actually discovered America. It was there before he discovered it. So in this case, I think we're actually trying to make – there should be a decision-making process, I think, and not just a recognition process.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Chuck again. Alan?
Well, that word is actually used deliberately, and I can live with determine because I'm not trying to analyze. The original intent was not to analyze this so carefully word for word, but the recognize was in the process of implementation, which is an ongoing, you know, long process, you want an alarm to go off in your head to say, oops, we have something which we may need to think about from a policy point of view. That decision, you're not going to be continually asking yourself, the mind doesn't work that way, is this policy? You want an alarm, and that's why I use the word recognize. But I can live with determined, but it was there because it's almost something out of the blue that you weren't expecting, which says, hold on, we have to put the brakes on because we've come to a decision point which we can't make on our own.
So, Avery, I see a disagree there, but I'm not totally clear on what Alan said that you're disagreeing with. If you could clarify that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I totally agree with Alan that there's a specific meaning to recognized that in some ways is more appropriate than determined. I'm not happy with using determined, so I disagree with him when he says that he can live with determined. Well, I don't disagree with him. I'm sure he can. I'd be less than happy about it because recognition that there is an issue comes before the work that a determination requires. So you can't make a determination before you've recognized an issue. And so for me, I think recognize was the much more appropriate term, and it's what we mean. If we have to wait for a determination, how do we start the process of determination? This becomes one of those, you know, infinite regress problems. And so a word like recognized is something that's referring less to, you know, some process, but more as, my God, we can see it. There's an issue. People are talking. There's a recognition that there is an issue because so that's why I say transparency plus recognition, transparency plus alarms gives you a real life embodied in the people method for doing it. A determination says, well, how do you determine? You determine through process. Oh, well, how do we kick off the process? And so that's why I very much prefer realized. Thanks.
Okay, this is Chuck. I'm going to put my hand in the queue, but first, Mary's had her hand up for a while, so go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mary. And actually, Avery has voiced my question because I guess it's for this group to determine, I suppose. Are we talking about recognizing, as Avery says, to say, identifying, if you like, okay, this is a decision and there may or there will be substantial or whatever impacts. So, okay, we identify it, we know it's going to be a problem. Is the methodology related to that, to the identifying of the problem, or is the methodology related to, okay, we now have a problem, what should we do about it? Do we refer it to X, et cetera, or are we talking about both? And I think that it would be helpful to make it clear one or the other or both, because it seems to mean two different, or at least two somewhat different things. And similarly, I have put the alternative wording for impact here in square brackets, because substantive, substantial, and immaterial don't necessarily mean the same thing either. So it seems to me that maybe this group would like to talk about that wording for both of these parts of the sentences a little bit more to make it clearer.
Thank you, Mary. Let's go to Greg.
Another possible, you know, linguistic way to do this is I would feel more comfortable with recognize if it said may rather than will. I think whether we say it's recognize or determine, not everyone is going to agree with what is being recognized or determined. If there is a consensus that consensus may come by determination, or maybe it's so obvious that it'll be recognized. But some people will say, I recognize the substantive impact. And somebody says, I recognize, you know, nothing of the sort. All I see here is an implementation defect, or something that, you know, this impact is non-substantial. So either way, there's going to be an argument. And I think creating, you know, part of those, you know, the issue with the language is creating too much of a presumption that there's going to be kind of substantial impacts kind of constantly through the implementation process.
Thank you, Greg. Chuck again, and I think I'm up in the queue here. Mary got it pretty closely at where my thinking is on this. I thought the recognition happens when we get the feedback from the stakeholders. They're going to identify their particular impact. So we, at that point, I don't know that we need a methodology to recognize that there are possible issues. They've been identified. Now, we may find more, but they've been identified. It's now there needs to be, okay, how do we determine? That's why I like the word determine better, but I'm not hard and fast on that. We're now at a point where, okay, we need to determine whether there may be, and I'm okay with the word may there, whether or not there are whether there's the possibility of substantial impacts for which we need to develop some policies for. And I'll stop there and turn it over to Alan.
Thank you. With regard to Greg's may, I have no problem with that. The intent is certainly covered by may. You know, the policy process that will ensue if there is a belief that there could be impact is the one that will determine whether it is or not. So I have no problem with May. That was the intent. But Chuck, I think you're going back to a different point in time. You're talking about the impact from the community will provide the fodder by which we can determine if there is impact or not. We're not talking about that point in time. We're talking about we're in the middle of implementation. The policy is written. For better or worse, well or not, the policy is written and approved. We are implementing, and now we may be coming upon something where a decision has to be made, whether it should have been in the policy or whether it's simply implementation, which has sufficient impact that there has to be community input into the process, is moot. You know, it's not clear that
Alan,
the
I think you're policy
process
right.
Made a mistake. It's this is the implementation time we're talking about.
So I think you're this is Chuck. I think you're absolutely right that I'm thinking of a different time than you. But I'm real curious as to why you concluded that this is implementation.
No, I didn't say different avenue. I said a different time.
I understand what you said. Why do you think that this relates to implementation and not policy development?
I'm telling you what it was talking about.
The ALAC point.
It's a statement I happen to have authored, so I can speak with some authority.
Gotcha. Okay, all right.
This is talking about we are in what we are today calling implementation, a poorly defined term, and something comes up which at least some part of the community, once they are made aware of the situation, will decide you can't simply make a decision on that staff. It has impact.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
It's recognizing that that's about to happen, that this whole point was talking about.
Okay. Thank you. And I obviously interpreted it broader, more broadly, and because I really think it's a good principle for the policy side of it, not just the implementation side of it.
True, but I think we, as Alan speaking or interrupting, but I think we've already covered that in our first principle, that when we're doing policy, it's got to be bottom-up. It's got to look at how it impacts, how it affects people.
Okay, Chuck again. So I think this is a case where a principle is useful beyond just saying bottom-up. So I actually think it would be good if there was a methodology to recognize or determine whatever we decide to use, and I can let go either way, when a decision with regard to policy is made in terms of substantial impact. So I guess I'm taking the ALAC thing and applying it in a different area than the ALAC actually intended it. So the question is there usefulness in not restricting this to just implementation as was intended by the ALAC? And let me go to Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. I guess if I start with the question that you just asked, there's assuming that the group says, yes, that's value to it, there's two ways we can do this, I suppose. One is to actually add a sub-point with similar language under the earlier principle where we talk about timely inputs and notifications and the stakeholder impact analyses. The other, of course, is to amend this sentence or this paragraph to make it clear that we're talking about both stages of the process, whereas at the moment it's speaking only to the implementation side of things, because at the moment it reflects just what the ALAC intended by its statement. So that's one sort of procedural thing. The comment that I actually wanted to make was coming back to the distinction between recognition and determination. It's reading the whole sentence, it seems to me that the recognition part, or what I call the identification phase, because I didn't want to use the word recognition, is covered by the first part of the sentence. And the second part of the sentence has to do with, to my mind, resolving the situation when you have that recognition, which goes more to the point you were making, Chuck. It's like, now that we know this is going to be a problem, how do we handle it? And Alan, I don't know if that would be an accurate reading, and if so, whether there's something we can do with the second part of the sentence to reflect that.
Thank you, Mary. And before I go back to Alan, the second part of this item, Alan, I think it suggested we didn't need. So, and such decision must involve a bottom-up process in addressing those decisions. So is there anybody in disagreement that we can drop that part of the principle here so that doesn't confuse what we're talking about on the first part? Is there anybody in disagreement with that? Okay, so I'm assuming that probably we'll drop that because Ellen was right. We are that is covered previously. Now let me go to Ellen.
Thank you. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Now I remember. It was, do we need a methodology to decide during the policy process whether something has impact? I don't know whether I'm a pragmatic or a cynic, but I don't think that's going to be addressed by anything other than logical, thoughtful discussion and weighing of the various pros and cons. There's always going to be multiple sides. We're always going to make decisions which have negative impact on somebody because we believe the overall pluses outweigh them. That's what the whole policy process is about, is weighing the various inputs and trying to come up with something which meets the overall needs of the larger community. So I don't think we're going to have a methodology for that. That's what intelligent discussion is about. What this was getting at originally is, how do we have the alarm bells go off to make sure that we don't brush over something which there are many who will believe it's policy once they become alerted to it, and go a long way down the path of treating it as if it's just an innocent implementation. That was the overall intent.
Thank you, Alan. Chuck again. So, if I'm hearing you correctly there, and if there's agreement in this group, then this probably should be worded, there should be a methodology to recognize or determine or identify or whatever when an implementation decision may have substantial impact on the community. And if that's what the group wants, that's okay. But then I think this needs to be moved down to the mm-hmm. section of proposed principles relating to implementation. And then it may have been my fault in putting it where it's at now. Okay, so that's probably what I'm responsible
yep.
for. So and I'm open to that if that's what people want to do.
Yeah, Chuck, it's Alan. It always was meant as something regarding the quote implementation phase. And again, we're using these terms which have multiple meanings to multiple people, but it was always targeted at that.
Okay.
That was the intent. It's how do we halt the implementation phase because there is
okay.
a new policy thing that we've become aware of, or policy, quasi-policy thing that we've become aware of.
Thank you, Alan. Mary? Is that an old hand, Mary? Or is that...
Yes, sorry. It was a vestigial hand. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. So let me ask everyone, I'm not opposed to going this route as long as we make it clear. We put the word implementation decision, put the word implementation in front of decision, and then move it down to the section that's proposed principles relating to implementation. Is there anybody that's opposed to that? You're opposed to it, or you agree with it, Cheryl? The way I worded the question made it confusing. Can I conclude, Cheryl, that you're in agreement with adding the word implementation and then moving it? Okay, thanks. Nobody seems to be opposed. Alan, did you want to say something further?
No, I've just gotten lazy and left my hand up.
Okay, all right, good enough. All right, so that one, Mary, you're with us on that, where we're at. So it's going to say we're going to have, okay, you've got implementation in there. We're going to delete the, you already did that, the after community, so we're okay there. And for the sake of the ongoing principles, we won't any longer need the reference that it was an ALAC statement. But that was helpful for us in this. So, okay, let's keep moving. And we then go to C, which is really a core value, an ICANN bylaws core value, which is seeking and supporting broad, informed participation reflecting the functional, geographic, and cultural diversity of the Internet at all levels of policy development and decision-making. Let me open that up for discussion. It useful to have that core value restated here. One of our tasks within our charter, of course, is to see how the core values relate in this, and this one certainly does relate. So is there anyone that doesn't think we should include this as a principle here? Okay. Alan, go ahead.
I'm trying to decide again, does this really add anything? It's using words from the core value, and we haven't referenced things like cultural diversity and geographic in the other documents. But I think they're all by referring to, you know, the stakeholders, and which we've defined in a very broad way, including the ones who aren't normally present in the ICANN system. I think we've already covered all of this. I guess I'd be curious to know if Avery agrees, because she's the one who sort of worded did the wording that we started off the discussion on today. But I'm not sure it gives more flavors to the words we're using, but I'm not sure it's really necessary.
Thank you, Alan. Avery, would you like to respond?
No.
Okay. That's okay. Is there, let me ask the question this way. I appreciated the smile.
I've got to the point where I need to read the words all together to know where we're at.
Yeah.
And
so is there anyone who
thinks... So that's why I really don't know.
So is there anyone who thinks, at this point anyway, and maybe Aubrey's right, that we need to mull this one over and come back to it next time, but is there anyone who thinks that it's useful having what is now shown as principle C there? It'll probably become B if we leave it. But the core value 4, in other words, in this list of principles, or should we? Well, let me just leave it at that. Is there anyone who thinks we should leave this one in? Okay, Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought of something to say. Yeah, I think we should leave it in. We may want to phrase it differently in terms of making it sound like a principle, which is, you know, it's a principle that we should always, you know, pay attention to core value 4 in, you know, considerations listed in this, you know, in our considerations. So I think that adding that tag, which sort of says when you're talking stakeholder, remember this issue. When we're talking this, remember that. So I don't see a harm in it, and I do see possible good in it. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Chuck again. Mary, your turn.
Thanks, Chuck, and this is a new hand. I guess going back to what either you or Cheryl said a while ago about why not, or erring on inclusiveness rather than anything else, I think from what Alan was saying, I think it, this whole notion of breadth and diversity is implicit in a lot of the principles being discussed, including the overarching principle and the talk of, you know, bottom-up processes and so forth. But I'm just thinking of maybe some specific instances and examples. One of the discussions going on, I think, in a different forum is how should the rest of the community, whether it's the board or the GNSO, react to FX kind of briefings and advice, for example. There's no real process for doing that. Another one would be questions of when we seek input, whether it's through a public comment forum after there's been a consensus recommendation, or even through the SOAC invitation letters, in terms of language and translation. So these may be very minor examples, but to the extent that they crop up every now and then in the community and in the processes that we engage in, it seems like it could be a good reminder, at least, to keep this in, rephrase in the way Avi's suggesting, to make it more like a principle. So more as a placeholder and reminder, really, rather than anything new.
Thank you. And before I turn it over to Alan, if anybody could draft a rephrasing, that would be great. So let's go ahead and go to Alan.
Yeah, I put it in the chat. It sounds like a footnote to the definition of, you know, stakeholder and community and things like that earlier on, to remind people that it should be as wide ranging as possible. And, you know, I think that's probably where it belongs. However, I do support what Cheryl just added in the chat, saying she needs to leave, and maybe we're at the time where we need to see text and resume next time.
Well, we're within about 12 minutes or so of ending, so we can do that if that's the desire of the group. The if we do that, what I would like is a volunteer to rephrase this and send it to the list so that we can review it there, and then we would pick up on that when we start our next meeting. Do I have a volunteer? Is that okay? Aubrey, you're volunteering, or you're agreeing that we should get a volunteer? So, Aubrey, are you willing to rephrase that? Okay, I'm going to assume that's what that agree means, and we'll look for something on the list in that regard. If not, please.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, on mute. I had two mutes. I had suspenders and braces. Oh, no, not suspenders and braces. But anyway, I had two mutes, so I thought I was talking. I was agreeing to be a volunteer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And from your chat, it sounds like you're volunteering to put it in as a footnote. or to consider putting it in as a footnote.
Actually, what had occurred to me was I was going to offer both and decide which you want to use.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. So you'll come up with some language. We can decide then whether we want it as a footnote or as a principle. And that sounds okay to me.
Yeah.
Before I do adjourn, the one thing that I would like to we have to, of course, talk about our next meeting, and we're not making as quick a progress as I had hoped, and everything else in the working group is depending on us doing this. So it seems to me if people can do it, it would help us if we can continue to meet weekly. Are there any problems with that? And in fact, can we, at this point, at least for those of us that are on this call, assume that we will meet weekly until we get this wrapped up, always leaving it open if there's some big conflict we can...
Sounds like a threat, Chuck.
Yeah, I didn't intend it that way, but it's not a bad idea, Alex. if there are no big objections, let's go ahead and plan on this meeting being weekly at the same time, unless people need to, we can consider adjusting that if we need to. And so we'll plan on meeting next week at this time. Picking up where we left off, and Aubrey will send us some language, and we'll pick up from there next time. It actually may be that some of the glancing ahead, even though there's, if you look at the pages that we have to go in this document, a lot of them are made up of comments and things, so it may not be as overwhelming a task as it may appear on the surface. I hope that's true, but regardless, we still need to make our way through that. Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. So just a couple of things to follow up. I'll check on the staff support for next week. I think Marika is available. I will double check with her because I won't be, and we do try to both be available, but sometimes it doesn't happen. But that's just a note for you, and I'll check with her by tomorrow. Secondly, I'll send the revised version of this document reflecting this to the list and noting that Avery will be sending some edits, because I assume that you'd want folks to have time to review what we've done today. But the question I had for you and the group, Chuck, was for the next full working group meeting next week, and Chuck, I know that the chairs haven't talked about an agenda fully, would you wish to send at least the policy portions of this document to the working group, or you prefer to work on the full document, including implementation, before sending anything to the full working group?
Good question, Mary. Let me give you my response to that with the qualification that I'm open to disagreement if people think differently. I think because even as we found today, there's one principle that we're going to move. I think it's probably better if we can hold off and then use the working group meeting next week to focus on definitions. I'm assuming, and Michael's not on the call, and nor is Marika, I'm assuming that the definitions subteam will have some responses to what we did in our last working group meeting. So I think we will have plenty on our working group agenda to continue to refine the definitions for that. So my thanks for the agreement there, Aubrey. My suggestion would be that we and by the way, Aubrey just put another threat in the chat. You know, we can meet twice weekly. So, Alan, to use your term. let's. Does anybody disagree with that? Let's hold off. I mean, I'll give a status update because we are making progress, but it's looking like the only way we make significant progress is really on the calls. Not too much is happening on the list now. Certainly, if we can get some stuff done on the list, that's great, and I still encourage that. But the reality of the matter is that most of our progress is happening on these calls. And by the way, I think the calls are effective. I mean, we're we're making progress, and so that's good. So I'm not being critical of that. Again, if we can speed that up by progress on the list, let's do it. If not, we'll live with it, and if necessary, go to meetings twice a week, like Aubrey suggested. But we're not starting that yet. Okay. Any other comments or things we need to do before I adjourn? Thanks, guys. I confess this has been a fun. This is a fun subgroup to work with because people are forthcoming with their thoughts. We're able to constructively disagree and come up with, I think, improvements all the way along. So thanks for that. And I guess we'll probably talk on the working group call next week and our sub-team meeting next week. So, Natalie, if you can please put out a notice for this meeting and note that we're going to plan on meeting weekly unless informed otherwise. Thank you, everyone. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.